It's Sam Barrett. Yes, this is the Punk Muse podcast. Don't ask me what number it is because I never keep track of this because I'm here so infrequently and I'm being very honest about it. Yeah, I'm here with myself and a band, a very special band from Long Island. I think Em is coming on. Don't know where Em is, but we'll find her later. Yeah, so I have Overthrow here. They're from Long Island and they're fucking awesome. Yeah, so we're gonna have a little chat with them. But let me see if I could play a song for you just to get you primed up for what you're gonna be dealing with in a second. So they just put out a new album last year, and I'm gonna be playing Setting the Price. Overthrow, Long Island. We're here. We have Chris, we have Mike, and we have Anthony. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves and I guess tell us what you do in the band?
Cool. I'll jump in. I'm Anthony. I play guitar. I play guitar.
Guitar is very important.
Mike,
Go ahead, Mike.
there we go.
Sorry.
We did it. I'm Mike and I play bass.
I'm Chris, I'm vocals.
Awesome. So you guys are what, a four piece, I believe? Yeah?
Five
Five?
piece.
Oh my
Yeah,
God,
we
you guys
are.
have grown.
Yes,
And
yeah, we were
apparently you guys formed like over 2 decades ago.
1995. Yeah.
Yeah.
1995. Yeah,
That is
we
crazy.
yeah,
Tell
long
us about that.
Yeah, so the band started with me, Anthony, and our original drummer, Dimitri. And it was just the three of us, and just for our love of hardcore. And then Dan came along, our bassist, and we were a four-piece up until we put out our first album on Triple Crown Records in 1999, React. And right as we were recording React, Steve, our second guitarist, who's in the band now, joined the band. And we were a five-piece, and we've been a five-piece, and it's the same five-piece that recorded the new album Setting the Price that came out in October. And when we recorded it, it was Dan, our bassist, said, you know, he just wanted to record the new album, kind of finish what we started after the first one, and then after that, just not move on and play shows and stuff that we're doing now. And we were very fortunate to bring Mike in to play bass for us, and he was really the only choice, you know, like for us, to be quite honest. Like he's almost been like a he was a fifth member of the band even before we started, you know. So he was Anthony. Remember, like, our first interview in a zine was his zine
Yeah, true.
in Dimitri's basement
Raging
for
Youth.
his Raging Youth,
Yes.
right?
Oh,
Raging
yes.
Youth fanzine that we were in. It was us at H2O. It was like such a big deal. Like, we were in there at
Yep.
H2O. So he
Yeah.
interviewed us as we were like jamming on our songs and stuff like that. But we've known Mike forever. Him and Alex had Distance Records at the time, put out a split 7-inch with us in One for One. So Mike was just the logical choice. Like, at this point in time of us doing this, having someone that's like one of our boys and a brother, and that's where we're at today.
Yeah.
Awesome. So pretty much you guys came back from the
Yes, we did.
dead. Or I guess a really long Long Island hiatus or something like that. You guys just recorded an album like last year, something like that. Was most of these songs like brand new, or were they just like lingering bits that you guys had around that you guys sparsed together now?
Yeah, it was kind of like a combination. I mean, we wrote all of them were new, but we were able to take a lot of like stuff that we wrote, like riffs and breakdowns from really 20 something years ago, and roll them in. So that's why it's really cool, because it's kind of like a it's just a total continuation of where we what we would have sounded like with the next progressive album back then, you know. So you know, it's if you listen to the albums back to back, it's just kind of like a it's just a more broadened version of the older album. And we have a now that we have another guitarist, it's more layered. It's kind of what we were always supposed to sound like, I feel. And it's really cool, because there's a couple songs where, you know, these riffs we wrote like 20 to see them like dusted off and back and, you know, resurrected is something really cool. But we did a lot of writing, like, you know, the COVID, you know, I was writing stuff, and I was sending the guys like just stuff over voice notes, and we just kind of went back and forth. And then it was really it kind of just it was just like it was. I mean, it was really smooth writing. Some songs took like a day to write, and some of them took longer, but it was great, man. It was a really cool process to jump right back in like that, you know? Yeah.
Awesome. And now you have Mike to help out.
Yeah,
So
it's awesome.
from the start of your band, I was like, what were some of the inspirations that you took from like, you know, other bands in your life? And then how has that evolved to like now? Like, are they bands that you guys are into now that it has like embedded into the new album?
Yeah, it's funny. It's like it was like 25 years in the making of things almost. But like Anthony said, like, there's some riffs that were there that were polished off and put in. But like, there was a lot of new stuff that was put in there. So I would say we're influenced by a lot of
the New York hardcore bands that we grew up on, right? You look like Gorilla Biscuits, Sick of It All, Madball, like all those bands are an influence on us always, and really were when we started. District Nine, right? Like Anthony was like, love this. We all love District Nine, but I know like District Nine was a big one too. But now like the newer, I want to say some of these bands aren't, I'm going to call them new, like a band like Incendiary, I'll use for an example, right? Incendiary, they're not new, but they're new compared to the other bands that I just mentioned. And just some of the other stuff that's going on within like Long Island hardcore and stuff that we drew from. And what it influenced us and me personally was wanting to come back and play, because the Long Island scene, Brooklyn, New York hardcore, it's thriving. It really, really is. It's thriving. And I'll go back. I know this was a couple of years ago. We played a show. It was the 25th of React. We played it with E-Town Concrete and Gridiron. That same night, Incendiary played in the city. That same night, Combust played in Brooklyn. All three shows sold out. That's pretty common with what goes on around this area. So it just like it really influenced all of us. It really influenced all of us to just get back, play, and keep moving forward.
That's
Yeah,
awesome.
just even as an observer, like obviously it wasn't in the writing process or anything like that, but sort of as like, Kristen had said, to put just to like a long story very short, like overthrow is the reason I got into hardcore. Like Alex and I have both said this in different ways, like overthrow is what pushed us from being kids that listened to hardcore to hardcore kids, just by attrition of like being part of them. But then, because Chris had sent me a bunch of the Setting the Price stuff, even before he was being sort of cheeky, be like, I just want to know what you think, but also learn the baseline. I was like, oh, okay. But hearing the Setting the Price stuff, I think it wasn't just a logical progression. There's a level of, and I say this as an observer and a listener, there's a level of musicianship that's on Setting the Price. And it's not that it wasn't there in React, because it's a very different time, a very different place, a very different hardcore had a very different outlook then. But I think they kind of let their creative chain off and were just like, we're gonna put a lot more layers into these songs while also it still sounds like overthrow. And I think for me, as someone who's followed the band and been with the band in whatever capacity, it was it's just a much bigger record and fuller record that they were able to achieve, and really impressive in that, like, it sounds like it's the continuation of React from 99 as much as it could be. It sits perfectly in any release for 2025 too.
And that like original kind of like DNA is still there, because we always, a big kind of like hallmark of our sound was always like zigzagging between like punk and metal. We always kind of can do that like effortlessly, and that's one of my favorite things about the album, is that it's just kind of like alive and well. It's just we can do a completely punk song, we can do a metal song, we can mix them both and tie them together with breakdowns, and it's just it really was, for me, like this album was kind of like, it's not, we're going to be writing again soon, but it really was like the end cap of like, it just felt like we didn't fit, like we had to finish what we started. And I always had that feeling like we just wanted to continue on, and we never had that opportunity. So it's just a lot of closure off of the React album, not to mention like React, for a good duration, we didn't even own the rights to those songs until really recently. So like, like just playing and having all these, owning it, there's something about that, so it was just really cool. I felt like everything we did the right way this time, and it was just it just worked really well,
So you just mentioned that you guys didn't own the rights to React and you just got it back. How was that process?
Very easy, really. Very honestly, it really was. It was very easy. It was actually maybe like relatively like 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 6 years ago maybe. So we were playing Wild. We played Wild Fest 4 on Long Island. We were asked to play it, which is a benefit for Rob McAllister for Capitol. So we were honored to play it with Mike from Iron Sheik put together. And we unfortunately couldn't do the one the year before. We were just away. So he asked again, and we were like, absolutely. So we played the one with Kill Your Idols, and it was just great playing with them again, obviously. But I was like, we have to put our stuff out on streaming platforms. Our CDs are not available anymore to people to go get. Like, I knew So I somehow got Fred Feldman's number, phone number from Triple Crown Records, and I just called him. And I asked if he would put it out on Spotify and Apple and all that. I knew what he was going to say. He said no, it wasn't worth for him to do it. So I said, well, I want to do it, and then I had to figure out how to do that, but I did. So then he said, no problem. So he emailed me everything over that. It was all good to go. And we uploaded everything to through TuneCore. That got it through every single streaming platform. It was really that effortless and easy. He could have been a dick and he could have said no. But he was really cool about it. And he did it. So when I called him, I left a message. Like, who leaves messages anymore on someone's cell phones? I did it. And then I was like, I'll call him back. He actually called me. He called me back. So he was good. He was a stand-up guy about it.
That's amazing because I've heard horror stories about trying to get
Yeah.
their stuff
Oh,
back.
yeah. To this day, bands with like catalog labels not giving things up.
And
Yeah.
he allowed it. It allowed us to then re-release it on vinyl. We never had it on vinyl. It was always CD. I think there was tape copy. I think a tape copy back in the day. But like we never had, we were able to put it out on vinyl. We were able to re-release it. And when we re-released it on vinyl for the 25th of React, John Contino, who people know very well, he's an incredible, incredible artist. He's done some incredible covers for bands, and he's just, even besides that, everything he does, he does stuff for professional sports teams. He reimagined the cover, and it was funny. Anthony and I were like, well, why don't we, like, we were giving him ideas. He just said, let me run with it. We were like, you know what, let's just let him run with it. And it just, the layout of that, and it's just not because it's React, the actual layout of that vinyl for what he did, it had nothing to do with us. Like, what he did was absolutely incredible. So everything kind of all aligned with that. We were able to do that.
Yeah, that is amazing to hear. Actually, that is refreshing to hear, because it's just not a flawless process
No. Like
most of
Mark
the
from
time.
Shutdown, they talk about it all the time with them. I mean, again, Victory's bigger, like all that
Yeah.
stuff, but still, like what the hell do they need to hold that for Victory? You know what I mean? So
Exactly.
yeah, you hear a lot of stuff about that, a
Exactly.
lot of bad, negative things. So we were very fortunate.
Yeah, that is great. Because essentially, this in my personal view, it is your music. You will forever own it. And even though it's probably owned by someone else or licensed out by someone else, you guys should be allowed to do something with it if it's not being done with, dealt with. Also, contracts are crazy. Bad contracts are bad. And if we
That
had
was the other
John
funny
here, he
thing with
would
that.
say
Yeah, that was
it.
the other funny thing with that, Anthony. We joke all the time. Like we played with we he gave us the contract. We held on to it for a month. We maybe read through it once. It was really poorly written too, by the way. Like it, but we were like 19, and we get off the stage at Deja One. He was there watching us. We actually it was a great show. It was a great show at Indecision. And we get off. We just looked at each other. I remember we shrugged our shoulders, Anthony, and we just signed the con. We just signed it, and then we were in the studio a month
Right.
later.
We're like kids, we just
Yeah, we didn't know what we were
like
doing.
sure, like we're like
Yeah,
whoa, like just fucking signed
we just signed it
it.
off.
You're
I even
like,
made that
no one
stupid
has an
question
uncle that's a lawyer
to
that could review this today.
Exactly, right. Just sign.
We just signed it. Just signed it. It was funny.
That's
So.
crazy. Okay, so being from Long Island has such a rich history and a very specific sound with hardcore. So pretty much the likes of Silent Majority, which is like the kings of Long Island hardcore in many ways to some people, like Kill Your Idols, Incendiary, and then now we have like younger bands like Koyo, running around the world, literally. So what do you guys aim to add to the Long Island legacy since you're back?
Don't want to take like to I could take you go ahead, Mike.
I think really the great thing about Long Island is that there is very little pretense about who's in a band or whatever with a band. As long as you're good to Long Island, Long Island is good to you. And so I think, and again, this part I say to Observer, I mean, Overthrow has already cemented its legacy in terms of the Long Island hardcore canon. I think what we're doing now is really just we're having fun in a community that is kind enough to allow us to have that fun. You know what I mean? And it's an amazing thing. Like this, the next Silent Majority show got announced today, and Clockwise Direct Support. And it's like those were bands that we were seeing, you know, before Overthrow took off, and they're having their fun. And I think the great thing about Long Island is whether you are, you know, a 19-year-old kid in a new band or guys our age in a band, you know, resurrected, you know, as long as you're doing it the right way and you're there for the community, everybody can have their fun. And I think that's really what it's been about, at least in as I see it, since Overthrow has sort of been back proper, is that like, yo, we're gonna play shows, we're gonna have fun, we're gonna be happy with the fact that we can reconnect with some people that, you know, we've known for 20 years and make new friends from the younger generation, and there's no pretense to any of it. And I think that's really the most awesome thing about what Long Island offers. And it's like, it's a very endearing vibe that it's like, yeah, we can play shows, and it's awesome.
Yeah. And one of the things too to comment on, look at all the bands you mentioned there. They all different styles, right? That's what's so great about Long Island is the different styles of bands that you have there. Like you could go like top, not even just in Long Island, but top tier hardcore bands like worldwide. Like they're from Long Island, like they're not for nothing.
Sure.
Like, you know, right? Like Coyo, Pain of Truth, Incendiary, Silent Majority. I would say there's VODs, there's Silent Majority, there's Neglect, right? There's the top five, but Silent Majority by far is the most influential,
Oh
by
yeah.
far, you know, by
Yeah.
far. Because, you know, on my podcast, I have obviously it's Long Island based. I have a lot of Long Island heads that are on the show, and Silent Majority is by far the most
Oh yeah.
influential. They just announced their show today. Things it's I'm surprised it's not sold out already. Like
Right.
or will sell out. Like that's just how they could do that at any point in time. And to back to like to the piece of like what Mike was saying, I think what's cool about coming back and playing, and it's cool people still remember who we are, you know, like it's been a minute,
Amen.
but people still like it's appreciative, you know, and it's like the opportunity, it's like this summer, we're doing a weekend with Shutdown down south. We're going to California this summer. You know, like we had the opportunity to go to California in 1999, but it 20 years old, it just didn't happen. There was no way of us getting there unless we walked there. You know, just wasn't happening. But now we have the opportunity to do that. We're excited. We're going up north. We're playing up north with Demise. So it's like doing this in 2026 with the new album is just fucking awesome. It really is. Like it's just really cool. It's fun to play with bands like Killing Time and Shai Alud again, just doing all Madball at Gramercy Theater, which was Mike's first show with us, which was really cool. Is just really, really awesome. And then with more to come, you know, there's more stuff to come for us. And you know, we were talking about writing the last album, but like we're gearing up already for what's in store for us in the future, and we're looking forward to it. Like we really, really are in terms of starting to write. Nothing that would be dropping next year or anything like that, but getting it ready because we just after writing Setting the Price, we're excited to keep going. Like we feel like we have more. And now having Mike in the fold and stuff, it's gonna be exciting. We have our drummer Noah, our drummer Rich, who recorded with us for he was in React and Setting the Price. He just wanted to record. But we have Noah, and Noah is 19 years old. So we have to keep up with him, you know, and he's a really, really talented drummer and so we're excited just to get going with that piece of it. And we probably will start writing, I would guess, at the end of the summer, give or take.
You guys are pulling a Toby from H2O.
The only thing
Close.
is Noah's a lot
Close.
younger than him.
I was gonna say,
So,
right? Toby's son is actually older than Noah, yeah.
Well, it's funny enough that you say that because we're playing, by the time this comes out, it'll be done, but we're playing Massapequa VFW Hall this week. We're playing with Scarhead Intention. We're psyched. It's an old school show, but then we got some new bands. Top of the World. So Long Island band's talking about Top of the World. Dan's band from Private Mind, Top of the World is sick. Crown of Thorns meets like early Glass joining me. They're so good. So we're playing with them and Silence Equals Death, but Noah can't make that show that night because he has something. So we have Wes from Deadshot filling in, who's a year younger than Noah. And he
He's in high
kills. He's a
school.
great drummer, you
Crazy.
know?
He
So
is a great
we
drummer.
support. Listen, the hardcore scene, us old guys, it's great that we're there, but it doesn't thrive or move forward without the young kids. It just doesn't, you know? So the fact that they want to play with us, like play with those shows with us is pretty awesome. It's super appreciative.
Hey, we just need people that drums because drummers are hard to find.
Possibly.
Everybody needs a drummer.
Sure. I'm telling my
Everyone needs a
son he has to
drummer.
learn. I need my
That's
sons
the one,
along just in
man.
case. Yeah,
For
me
real.
too. And whoever is a drummer is always employed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, you just mentioned your tour. Have a great time on tour because
Yeah,
we did post about it on Punky. So if you guys
appreciate
want,
that. Thank
check it out on there. Where they're going next, all that good stuff. Okay, so last question. So are there any albums that you guys, any of you guys, are jiving to right now? And you want to give a
Ooh.
shout out to?
Oh.
I can
Go ahead,
start.
Lisa.
You want me to start?
Yeah, you go.
I can
I have a
start.
couple, but go. Yeah, go ahead.
Dude, this, I want to make sure I got it right, but I'm pretty sure it's Bird Legs. It's because I'm like a total, yes, it is. It's Bird Legs. Visions Beyond the Ape Cave. So I am an Eric Ozine super fan, just like Darren Nanos. Shout out Darren Nanos, drummer and musician for every
Yes.
awesome Brooklyn, New York band. I'm an Eric Ozine super fan since Redemption 87, one of the most critically underrated hardcore punk bands ever. But then I loved him in Nerve Agents. And then sort of out of nowhere, Revelation released this like 8-song in 15-minute record with Eric Ozine singing, Jade from AFI on guitar, and some dude on bass that is absolutely out of his mind. But it is super, super, super cool. It's definitely more Nerve Agents than anything else. But like Ozine with that very like sort of unique growl of his, it's super fast, great lyrics. Yeah, Bird Legs, Visions from the Ape Cave on Revelation. Maybe came out in like April.
What I'm listening to right now, it's not the album yet, but it's coming out. The two new Madball songs,
Yeah.
Tethered and Rebel Kids. I really like Rebel Kids a lot. I think that song is really good. So I'm looking forward to that album. I've seen the new Rebelmatic album. I it's just such a chaotic. It's just such a good album. Yeah, and Creech is the man. Yeah, he's the best. So like, but like that album's really good that just came out. So I've been listening to that. I've been checking that out. I've also been like playlists I've been listening to. Like we have the Culture Shock show that we're playing in Atlanta with Criminal Instinct and King Nine and Start Today and Shutdown and Lucky Feeling and all these other 18th Amendment and all these other bands. There's a playlist that I've been listening to with all the bands. They have some really good
Very
songs.
cool. I was checking out some of those bands actually on Friday. Is it Guess Wrong? Is that one of the bands on?
Yeah, they're playing with
Yeah,
us.
that's I was listening to them today, and I was feeling that band, man. That's a
They're
they
good. They're really
they
good, yeah.
got some songs that I really liked, and I found myself like playing a couple like just over, like that's how like whenever I like a song, I'll just play it to death, but yeah, that band. And I still listen to this band out of like Iowa called No Means. That they're band. They're not even that big, I mean, they're relatively new. I think they've only been around for like a year, maybe 2 years. But they just got like a really like kind of like classic type of sound, Outside of that, that's it. You know what I checked out, which is not hardcore at all, but like I was like really curious to hear the son of Sublime. Like the kid,
Yeah,
he
you
had
sing with
one
them.
when his father passed away, and I got a chance to listen to that album. And dude, he sounds exactly like his father, and the music
Awesome.
sounds exactly like it's literally like the band is completely resurrected. It was kind of cool, but I could get down with some of that, man. It's just cool. It's just a really cool story too, Yeah. But I was listening to that like this week, and I was like just floored at like how much the kid sounds like his dad, But yeah, that's about it, man. Recently, yeah.
Awesome. Well, we're gonna shut this thing out with another song by you guys. So to listeners out there, we have Overthrow from Long Island. So check out their latest. It's called Setting the Price, and we're gonna close this out with their song Tribute.
Thank you.
You're here.
I'm so sorry.
What's up, man?
Yeah.
How's it
Hello,
going?
it's nice to meet you.
How are
Nice
you?
to meet you.
It was a really
Well,
great, yeah, the last
we
part
are
of the interview I
back.
caught was really good.
Sam is back and Em is here, so we officially have a Punk News podcast because it's not like, I matter or exist or any of that. Yeah, so I think we're just gonna, hang out and do some of the news articles that has happened recently. Yeah. Well, actually, Em, how are things? How are things in Canada?
Things are good. It's starting to warm up. We had like a cold front, and now
Yes.
it's like time for shorts again. So it's happy. It's good. We
Awesome.
have
And
sun.
I heard a little birdie says that we're gonna meet up for hot dogs.
I'm very excited.
And maybe
Yes.
review it. Maybe the review will end up on the
I
podcast.
hope so. I want to know your thoughts. We need to get like a couple things.
We're definitely gonna have to share a couple things and review. So overthrow.
Yes.
Apparently in Canada there is a place called Grandma, what is it called, M?
Grandma loves you.
Loves you. And they
Yes.
have a hot dog that is an American hot dog.
Oh.
And
Yes.
Em, tell them what's on this American hot dog.
So it is an all beef hot dog. There's, ketchup, mustard. I think there's relish on there, normal stuff, and then there's pepperoni.
Oh,
Get down with
okay.
that.
How is
I can get down with that.
We don't know why this is American, so we're going to
I didn't think
try
you were
to
going to say
figure this out.
that.
We're going to
Maybe just
investigate.
the gluttony of it. Like, we can't just have a hot dog. We always need something more. But
That's an interesting
oh
mix.
boy, pepperoni with a hot dog is that's something.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so the Punk News podcast
Yes,
is on
it'll
the
be cool.
road to figure out what this hot dog actually means or tastes. So that's what Sam and M is going to be up to very, very shortly.
Very soon. Very excited.
Yes. But anyways, yeah. So I'm glad Em you're alive and I'm glad you're
Thank
good.
you.
Okay, so
Same
let's
with
get
you.
into this. Okay, so we have a couple stories that we're gonna hit up, and the first one we're gonna do is Streetlight Manifesto has issued an album update. Apparently they're gonna release five songs next week. We'll see. I don't know. But apparently it was a two-part update, and Tomas, he's the singer of Streetlight, has pretty much said that he has stewed on personal and private circumstances that made him unable to get the album finished. Yeah. So, Em, let me start with you. I was like, you read this, right? Like, well, what is your take on
I
this? Is
did.
this album actually going to come out?
I think it's going to be like two EPs at this point. I think it's going to be like, here's part one, and then here's part two, and they might like collect it as something. Because, like, I think they've released like three songs. When the first delay happened, they were like, we're sorry, here, have three songs. So, and then they're going to release five songs.
Next
So, like,
week.
how long is the album going to actually be? Like, how many songs do they have kind of in the chamber?
Well,
I think
they are
it's,
ska
yeah.
songs.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Ska songs are longer than hardcore songs.
Is relentless, for
Yes.
sure. You know what's interesting is like, so, because it just made me think, Sam, about like what we were saying about with labels in the interview. Are they self-releasing this? Or is this off a label?
Well, that has not been addressed, I don't think. So we're not exactly sure what is to come of
Interesting.
this because remember, Streetlight Manifesto also historically, the band itself has had issues in the past with their back catalog and stuff. So that hasn't been addressed. We don't know what is to come with that. It's
Interesting, yeah.
plausible that they're self-releasing. It's also plausible that an actual record label wants to put this out. We don't
Yeah.
know. But I think the major issue here is essentially, it seems like there is writer's block happening, right? And there's a difficulty in getting some stuff out because apparently the music is already pretty much done. And I personally think that they have delayed it a couple times, and I think maybe just say it's coming out soon and not
Yeah.
actually put a date on it.
It's
It would
interesting
be
is how music
interesting.
is now, right? Like it's how
Yeah.
music is now. Like if this was
Just gonna
2003 when
say that.
they put out Everything Goes Numb in 2003, right? Like you recorded when back then it's like you record a full album, you put it out. Now things are different. You could release singles and you could wait 6 months, and so it's like they're doing with what the times are, I get, right? Like how it is. Like so
I thought the same thing, dude, but I think it's just like it's weird that they're doing it under a different lens. Like clearly, like with this dude's pro,
True.
something's going on, you know what I mean? But you're right, like you almost could have just played it like here's five, here's three, here, and like not many people would bat an eye at that just because of the way the format of how things get released now. You know what I mean? But yeah, it seems like is it writer's block, or maybe I'm reading too far into this, right? There have been events in my life that have prevented me from writing pages and lyrics that are honest and songs that I'm comfortable. Like it, I don't know. It sounds to me like maybe he like wrote lyrics that he didn't believe in because the thing that was going on he felt like he couldn't write about. I don't know, but
It would.
yeah, it seems like I will say this as I read it, it felt like a painful post, which is a bummer if that makes sense. Like, dude. Seemed like dude was going through something, not just like, yeah, we're fucking off in the studio, which a lot of bands do.
Well, also, like when you're in the studio doing all this, it's time and money, So it's, you kind of have to be ready to actually go into a studio with someone else, or even if you're going in there by yourself and you're doing it yourself. I was like, it does take time, and as punk as we are punks with po possibly full-time jobs, it's a passion project, so it kind of like seems like there is definitely something going on, and I hope the Streetlight Manifesto, because a little part of me do like ska and like wants to hear this come out fully one day. But plus they did say they clocked in at roughly 35 minutes of music, so 35 minutes of ska music. What is that, like seven songs?
Probably, yeah.
Not if you're Operation Ivy,
No.
but yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see about that. Quicksand. Yeah.
Ooh.
You guys like Quicksand, right?
It
I
would be
do.
heresy if we didn't.
Yeah, they are from New York. Well, they just released a new song. The song is called Cool Guy. The video was directed and produced by Jesse Corman and edited by Jimmy Lazar. It is off of their upcoming album, Bring On the Psychics, which will be out shortly, July 17th, on Equal Vision. So yeah, did you guys watch the video, and did you guys like it?
It's good. Yeah, I liked it. I liked it. Yeah. I was listening to this, like some of their newest stuff. It's kind of throwing it almost like a little bit of I mean, look, they've been around way longer, but it's got almost like a Turnstile feel to it a little bit. I don't know if you guys had a chance to listen to it, but
Chance
I
to
love
go.
it. I think it's really good. Yeah, I've always liked them. I've always liked them. They're kind of like in that same, like them, Helmet, Orange 9mm, like all those kind of like hardcore Jason fans. I always used to throw down on them. So I love seeing new stuff from them. But yeah, I thought it was really good. Yeah, for sure.
They still
Definitely.
write great new music. Like that's the thing with Walter. Whatever he
Dude,
really does is
fucking
great, but
Walter, man. It's
yeah, it's
crazy.
like everything he does is
And
just
gold.
it's great, and the anticipation of it, and it's cool. The video was really cool. Like it was like it was great. Remember seeing them? I'm going to date myself, and we were there. Mike, I don't know if you were. Was it the Warped Tour in 1995 in the Nassau Coliseum parking lot?
Oh yeah,
Like them and Sick of It All, and
No,
yeah,
that was
like
the first one in '93, bro. Not
I
to make
think
you even older, but I was there. But
does make
yes,
me
that's
older. Yes,
Fluff
yes, that does
Orange
make me older.
9mm
Wow, that
Quicksand. You
was
want to weave it
'93.
back in? We can weave it back.
And
That was
they
the only
were.
time we ever saw. So I ever saw Sublime. An idiot that I
Oh,
was
that they were
like,
from that too.
"What are
That's
these
right.
idiots doing on stage? And why is that poor dog on stage?" And then, like 6 months later, Set
Yeah.
Three is like the biggest song ever. I'm like, "Wait a second,
Yeah.
I saw that band."
But back
Yeah,
to
I mean,
this song
but
video, it's great. It sounds like this album's gonna kill, like with what he
yeah,
norm
it's,
what they norm what he
dude,
normally
it's like
does.
that dude can literally just like put a guitar on and it's like, all right, in 3 minutes, you're gonna have a better song than anybody who's ever played guitar in the
Yeah.
underground has done. And this guy's just like warming up, you know?
Yeah,
It's
they just
crazy
feel
how
comfortable
prolific they've
playing.
been too. Like, cause they did that record on Epitaph maybe 4 years ago, and they're back with another full length
Yeah.
now on Equal Vision, right? Label mates would shut down, love that. But it's like Walter always hits. And you know, it's funny, Ant, that you were saying like Turnstile, because I do feel that. But I also like, and I know it's like a stretch, but there were moments in that song in particular, the one with the vid for the video,
Yeah.
where I was like, there's almost like a stripped down Tool vibe going on there. I think it was just like some of like the lower notes and how he was singing over it was like, it felt like a little Maynard to me, which also would make sense too, because those are like, you know, two untouchable bands. But yeah, it's great. I mean, you know, when Quicksand's given the world music, the world's a better place.
Well, I think it's that quintessential like quicksand like riff that usually
Yeah.
happens, that
Yeah.
like, you know, that's almost sludgy riff that like
Yeah, good way to describe them. Yeah.
Yep.
I love, like, it's mesmerizing watching Quicksand live. Like, it's just mesmerizing, and just
Oh, yeah.
watching Walter sway in the
Yeah.
coolest little way too, because I'm always like, he's like, he is a cool guy, but not the cool guy that he sings about in the songs, because the lyrics is not about a cool guy, really.
No. Clever
But
lyrics, because there even is that line where it's like, maybe I'm singing about me, but probably not. You know?
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it's not him, but yeah, I do think Walter is a cool guy, and I have this conversation with my husband all the time. I'm like, out of all of the Walter projects, which one is your favorite?
Right, with
Because
rival schools and yeah.
yeah, because they're all so different in different ways, right? And I assume this is all of the Walter outlets, because most of us, as we are called punks or whatever, right? We do like different things. So I just
Yeah.
think that these are the different Walters in life.
A good way to put it. Yeah.
It's true. Yeah, it's a very good way
Yeah.
to put it.
Yeah. But yeah, Quicksand is my favorite Walter. I'm just saying. Em, what did you think about Cool Guy?
Oh, I loved this. This was so cool. It was great. I like when they really like get into it with the lyrics too, you know, and everything. The visuals were so cool with the green and the mirror and the orange and like everything. I
Yeah.
was a big fan of this.
It was
Yeah.
kind of like a cool lo-fi clever way to make like a
Yeah.
otherwise slick video, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, well, I do
Yeah.
think that they kind of tied in the color scheme of the album art that's coming out, because it does
Okay.
have that like very like
Sure.
muted, because it's like a giant flower, but it's like very like tonal, and it's very like almost shoegazy in
Fair
my
enough.
opinion. So it had
I'm
that like
sure, yeah.
hazy effect to it. But yeah, I think Walter's a cool guy. I hope you guys agree.
Yes.
Very much
He's a
so.
legend. He is. I mean, Grill
Yeah.
Biscuits is one of my favorite bands of all
But then
time.
it's like he
So.
plays with youth of today too. And
Yeah.
then it's like he plays with Quicksand, and it's like it's unreal. Like, so impressive, man.
It
So
really is.
impressive. Is Walter a real person at this point? We're really giving him his flowers, but you know what? He earned them. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, so we do have something new to discuss. This band called Chico M,
Oh
you
yeah.
posted about this. Why don't you tell us about Chico?
Yeah. So, you know, it's fun when you're on the internet, you're kind of like surfing around and you like start to see different bands and new bands and kind of look into them a little bit. So Chico is one of those for me. Excuse me. So they're from California. They do kind of like they do hardcore that's melodic and kind of has like some alt rock sort of vibes to it. And I was like, this is a sounds really cool. It sounds really good. So they announced their debut album. It's self-titled. It'll be out August 14th on New Morality Zine. So that's really great. And then they released their new song, Blur, their first single from that record. And they have a couple, or they have at least one EP out already, and it's very, very good. So I was surprised at how much I liked this. I thought it was like You can hear some of the influences, but it's still like really fresh and very kind of vibrant. So yeah, what did everyone make of Chico?
It's interesting that we just did Quicksand into Chico, and I think it was weird because I had listened to them both back to back too. And like I felt a very Quicksand vibe to Chico, especially when you said like that alt rock influence. Definitely also felt like a more modern, current style vibe going on there with like some of like the stop start guitars and his like very atmospheric vocals, which I thought was cool. But like what a good vibe as a band. It was just a very cool song. First time I'd ever heard them. And great, sounded great. I think again, like New Morality, a great fit for them. It's like I could see them touring with Make Doin' Men. Nick New Morality team, make that happen.
I agree with you, Mike, with the first like hearing of them with this, but that song Blur, you're right, it does have a quicksand vibe to it with their own style. So
Super cool. And I love the California vibe that they're repping there. Very cool stuff.
Yeah, I felt like they have like a very like angel dusty kind of like thing, because like I was listening
Good
to the
call.
song and I was like, this sounds like something but not exactly, and it took me a little bit to figure out. I was like, it's angel dust. It was like, it is literally angel dust. And like even sometimes like the not the vocals per se, but like the vocal progressions, like almost like drug churchy.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, like I kind of picked up on that, and I was like, this is really cool. I was like, definitely up Sam's alley. I was like, oh, M. So M is the young one of our crew, and she's definitely like the best in finding new things, to keep me at least young and youthful. So thanks, M, for finding this for us.
And
Thanks for
where in
listening
Canada are
to
you? Where in Canada are
it.
you? Are you around there, Em?
Yeah, I'm just outside of Toronto. I'm in like kind of a rural area outside of Toronto.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I know this is like a Sam, I apologize, but like when I heard that she was Canadian, I've been waiting for my in to ask about this. Baton
Okay.
Army?
Yes.
Dude.
Yes.
Mike, you
They're
love
so
them. Good
good.
band. They are a good band.
Dude. I think we talked about it on one of the
On
episodes,
my
Chris.
pod, yeah. The best releases of 25.
Oh yes, it had to be on my list because I'm obsessed with this band. And this is what is so ridiculous about that band is, as I'm sure you all know, they sing in French Canadian or French without, that's my own ignorance. But and I'm still trying to sing along to it. But it's like I have no idea what I'm doing. But like now it for real. They're like, it's so good. And I think they're doing shows with Angel Dust out in LA soon or something like that. So it's like that's what everything got triggered in the brain there. That's sorry to interrupt. Am I just I had to ask.
They are so good, though.
They're okay.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like Mikey just has to get a flight out to LA now.
Oh God. I could only afford one and it's going out with these guys, so that's
That's
true. That's it.
Well, we could only dream.
Yeah, indeed.
Okay, so I think this is going to be the last one for the week, or this episode. What am I doing here? I don't know.
You're channeling like the John energy.
Yeah, I'm doing a really bad job at channeling the John energy, but this is a very Sam energy, and I think this is fine because sometimes John is just John. But anyways, The Offspring is releasing a 4-inch single. Now, you might ask, why? Yes, it's 4 inches. Yes, it's two songs. Yes, it's vinyl. But pretty much the A side's gonna be Pretty Way for Pretty Fly for a White Guy, which quintessentially I think we all grew up with. Maybe not M, I don't know.
That's how they got big.
Yeah, the reason, right? And then the B side's The Kids Aren't All Right.
A good
So
song.
this, yeah, two songs.
You're going all right. That is a tremendous
A
song.
punk
Sorry to
rock
interrupt.
song. It is.
Yes.
Great. For
Yeah.
sure. For sure. Undeniable.
Yes. So it's coming out on July 11th. It is going to be played on 33 RPM, and it is part of this Tiny Vinyl series. So if you guys don't know about this Tiny Vinyl series, most of it is being sold via Target, and most of it is sold for $15 US dollars
Ooh.
for 4 inches.
Fascinating. Okay.
So yeah, What are you guys' thoughts about this?
I think what you just said, why? It's an, it's just like an interesting, right? Isn't the Kids Aren't All Right? I know Pretty Fly for Waka, Kids Aren't All Right. Those are two different albums, right?
I'm pretty
Like
sure
I
they
know
are
Offspring. I'm
different
not an
albums.
Offspring guy though, but
No, one was Ixnay and one was another. You're right, Chris. Different
it's
albums.
just like an interesting. It's just why now, I guess. Look, it's cool like, for what you described of what they're doing, but yeah, like I think when I think of the Kids Aren't All Right, it was on a race like a racing arcade game. I remember that playing an arcade game at an arcade, and that song came on. It's a great song though, but yeah,
Really, yeah.
cool. I guess they're doing it, but almost just it's just a weird why. That's all.
So for
The pairing is
context,
the pairing is so weird. I'm sorry, Sam. Go ahead. The
so for
pairing.
context, a lot of these tiny vinyl series items are major record label pop items. So you'll get like Britney Spears, Backstreet Boys, they did Pink Pony Club by what is her name?
Chapel Row.
Yeah, Chapel Maroon.
Definitely,
So it's
yeah.
like a lot of this, and it almost to me seems like the replacement of CD singles back in the day,
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
but
Even
in
the
vinyl
tape single with
format.
the little cardboard there, yeah. And that would make sense if it's got the major label backing they're gonna put, but I mean, I don't know this, but I would imagine Pretty Fly is probably pound for pound their biggest hit, which tells you
Yeah.
something about listening audiences, but I mean, the Kids Aren't All Right. It's a tremendous, like Chris said, like tremendous song. Pretty Fly for a White Guy is like, I mean, it's just,
It's annoying. Let's be honest. Like,
to
that's
me,
the
I
answer.
don't. How does a band go from Smash, which is a tremendous
Yeah.
record, start to finish, to that so quickly? It's just, it's mind-boggling to me. And then also, what's even more messed up is, we know you're better than that because then you write The Kids Aren't All Right.
Yeah, which
So
is
it's
a
like, wait, what are
great
we doing
song.
with that?
Yeah.
Exactly. So what are we doing with that song exactly? Apparently, we're dropping it for $15 at a Target.
On
Why?
wax.
Oh my God,
I would love
man,
to
that's
see like the
crazy.
numbers behind that, right? Like I find that stuff
That's what
so
I'm saying.
interesting. Like
Yeah.
how many of those sell? How much money does that generate? I would love to just see the books on something like that, I bet you that rings the
Agreed.
bell, like, for them, It's so
It's
funny.
like, it's crazy. That's crazy to me because there it would like you could actually do so much with that if it was if the Kids Aren't All Right, it was sort of the A side, and then they did something cool with it, even if they re-recorded the Keep 'Em Separated song or something like that, where it was like sort of a cool nod to the bigger band, but like it seemed you're right, it's almost like who's driving these this release numbers wise and that you're gonna do it that way.
And I guess when you're 30 years old, give or take, right? You want to do different things too. So, I more power to them, I guess,
Fair enough. Fair enough. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Well, the crazy thing is, I was like, for $15, you can buy a 7-inch
True.
record
Yeah. True.
vinyl,
Right.
which can contain t possibly two more, three more songs on it, depending
Easy.
on easy,
Yeah.
right? And it's probably cost maybe about the same to produce.
Yeah. It's probably
Besides
true.
the fact that you are probably asking a manufacturing company to cut it down to 4 inches,
That's
which
weird.
is a custom size, and this is not just because I do a lot of vinyl market research at all, aka buying lots of vinyl. If the viewers, the listeners probably know how much me and John talk about vinyl, and M definitely knows, but whatever. But yeah,
It's fun
no,
to
it
listen to.
it's a lot of banter at this point. But yeah, no, it's kind of crazy to me that I'm like, this I honestly don't think that they're making a lot of money making this a four
Yeah.
inch because it's a custom size. I
Right.
do think that if they are making any money, they're definitely pressing too many of them. And
Right.
from what I can tell, being on the Target website too often, buying ridiculous things like Q-tips, like they are still available. So like some
Yeah.
of the like the earlier pressings of things is still available on Target, you guys. So I don't think they're selling too well.
Yeah.
Well, if it's exclusive at Target, it wouldn't surprise me if like the band just got like maybe a flat deal from Target and whatever, whoever's produced, and been like, this is what you're getting, whatever sells, sells. And it's like a almost like a niche thing, like you were saying, Sam, in terms of just like trying to drive collectors somewhere. You know what I mean? I don't even know. But
Yeah,
hey.
I definitely think this is definitely a collector's item. If
Yeah.
anything, this has nothing to do with actually playing things because I personally hate flipping. I hate 7 inches because I hate flipping things. So if I was to flip one song over, not about it so much. Hi, John.
Hello.
I'm clicking okay to acknowledge that this meeting is being recorded. Okay.
Well, John, we have hit the end, and it was talking about this offspring, 4 inch. Do you have a take on this offspring 4 inch?
Oh, Dev, I definitely have a take on it for sure.
Do you want to go? Yes.
Is the show live right now?
Yes.
Oh, we recorded 8 o'clock, not 9 o'clock. I screwed up.
Oh, easy to do.
Very easy to do.
Very easy to do.
Because we used to record at 9 o'clock, not 8 o'clock. I totally screwed up. My bad, people. I apologize. Well, here's my take on the Offspring 7-inch. This is a situation where news makes it news. And in reality, unless there's a news story on this, this isn't news. Because as everyone recalls, about 2 or 3 years ago, Offspring sold their entire catalog to Concord Music Group. I think it was Concord Music Group. And so Concord Music Group has a deal with numerous licensees to license music. And so Concord Music Group is looking to get money from any angle that they can get it from. And
See,
so these seven,
there it
these,
is. That's what I was looking for.
There you go, Anthony,
That's
right?
the
Yep.
side I was looking
He's got
for.
the,
He
John's got the
knows it.
trail. John knows, yeah, here we
So I'm like,
go.
why? We were all like, why the f would they do that?
So these 4-inch records are something that is exclusive to Target, and it's really just kind of a gimmick that there's Nicki Minaj ones, there's, I don't think there's Taylor Swift ones, but there's Brat, Charli XCX, there's Rolling Stones ones, there's Steve Miller Band, and they sell them for like 15 or 20 bucks each. And so it's just kind of a dopey thing. And this isn't really news unless we say it's news, because this is just one salmon in the stream of many salmon getting funneled through this
Right.
distribution channel. But by saying that Offspring is doing it, then that makes it news. So that's why this exists. And so the question is it news? Is this something that people should even care about? And the other question is the novelty of the 4-inch record, is that stupid or is it good? On one hand, it's stupid because it's like you're getting young people to spend 15, 20 bucks on dumb records, or not young people to buy 20 bucks on dumb records that don't need to exist. But on the other hand, records are hotter now than they've been in the past 25 years for sure. And so is this what the young people want? Is this what people want? Is this the kind of thing that is keeping the pump primed? Or are we strangling ourselves unknowingly, if you will? Or that is, are we getting short-term profits to kill long-term sustainability? Or is this another spark for long-term sustainability in the vinyl market? I will say this is kind of a dumb thing that people are going to buy and then forget about as soon as they buy it. It doesn't need to exist. It's kind of stupid. And I'm not opposed to funneling things through Target to the young people, but I think spend 40 minutes instead of 5 minutes to make an interesting product. Maybe make a replica of the original 7-inch. Maybe make a 7-inch and put some bonus tracks on it. But simply making a 4-inch record for the sole sake of a 4-inch record, it's kind of a dumb gimmick that won't play off in the end. And sorry that I'm late on the show. I'm really disappointed. I was thinking we started at not at 8, not 9, but we started at 8. My bad. I apologize.
All good, man.
Chris, get Fred Feldman on the phone. I want 4 inches in Target immediately.
Yeah, he'll say, good luck. You got your music back. Good luck with that distro
Actually, you guys could do it yourselves.
deal. Yeah,
I'll
right.
knock
Yeah.
on the door of Target down the street and
And we'll do the same thing. We'll take two random songs from two different eras and just throw it
I'll
on a 4-inch like they did with those two songs.
Oh my.
Well, but there's another question that you raised is a real good question. Let's flip the script. What if you make limited lathes, or what if you make limited kind of gimmick records for your hardcore fan base in the DIY punk scene? Is that therefore cool? And for whatever reason, it kind of is, as you know, the Dwarves make these limited edition record covers. I don't know who doesn't, but they do like these super limited edition record covers that are pretty cool that sell out, and that's all there's going to be. The Melvins do the exact same thing. If we look at Spaz, who made that famous 1-inch record, you know, it's a total gimmick, but it's fun. So why is it cool and fun in the DIY scene, but stupid and lame in Target? Maybe it's not stupid and lame in Target.
Well,
Good point.
I would. My first thought is cost, right? I've never paid $15 for two songs from a cool DIY, like limited edition cover. A lot of bands do some great stuff like that. I kind of love it. 50, I think that's why I think it's all that the pricing of it, you know, because I agree with you, John. Like, I'm not above Target being a way for a kid to get his first Fisher-Price punk record. There's no harm in that. You know, a kid paying $15 for two songs, that bums me out a little bit. That bums me out a little bit because, you know, that kid could get a lot more awesome, cool artwork and earnest music for $15 elsewhere. So I think, yeah, that would be that's my only thought about like why it's cool for like that band Public Opinion on their last tour. I think I forgot who it was with, but they did a couple of limited edition covers in different cities. It was with military when they opened for Military Gun, and that was super cool because it was the same vibe you were talking about. Like, they have X amount for that city. When it sold out, it sold out. But you know, I don't think they were selling two songs for $15.
What about a 4-inch that like it's also like a beer coaster? Like, so if like you listen to it and it sucks, then you automatically a beer coaster.
Oh, the Offspring 4-inch?
Well,
It'd be good.
I think that's a great idea for a
I'm like,
joke. I think the band should. I think that Dropkick Murphys song was good. Actually,
Who's Murphy's
coming
in
with
Law
me?
should do that.
There you go.
Murphy's Law, Dropkick Murphys. Yeah, that's a good idea, John. Yeah.
You
I
go.
think Mike brings up a good point in that perhaps the difference is not even in cost, but it's at Target, it's some young kid that doesn't even know this is kind of a dumb thing. Whereas when you're
Yeah.
buying the record at the show, I know when I buy a $50 Melvins record, I know the normal record is in $50, but this is just a wacky
Right.
thing that I want to have that's unique. And I think
Right.
that's the difference.
Collector stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. That's it for me, John, where it's just like, you know, you're taking it. Yeah. I mean, hopefully you're not taking a kid's money in that sense, but like, I just, you know, you'd rather that kid, you know, see a band live and then go buy their record, an entire record for $15. And that's how they get into
I
it.
just
So
think that some guy
let's
at Concord Records like, Mwah!
right,
Like
yeah,
holding
exactly.
it and just them like,
Yeah.
Let's dive into this even deeper. You know, as the hobby, I sell records for I buy and sell records for fun. I love collecting them.
Yes, I
There's
see you sometimes.
exactly. Here's an example. So there's Electric Light Orchestra Into the Blue. It's the double record. Honestly, it's an $8 record. Sometimes kind of skeezy guys sell for 15 or 20, but it's an $8 record. Except if it's got the uncut mobile inside of it, you know, the things you hang from a ceiling, then it's a
Yeah.
$40 or $50 record. What do you do when a kid that doesn't really know what he's buying wants that record and it's a $50 one because it's got the mobile in it and he picks it up to buy it and you say to him, that's not really 50. The reason that one's 50 is because it's got the mobile in it. But if you just want the record, you can go find it somewhere else for $8 or $10. But he still insists on buying it. What do you do then?
At least he's getting something extra for that money. You know what I'm
True.
saying? Like, he may be ultimately disappointed that the mobile is what it is, but at least there is something to that release that, in some way, and we could talk about the level of justification, but at least in some way is like, well, here is tangibly why this release is more than the other version. Whereas, like, again, not to beat a dead horse here, but it's exceedingly difficult to convince me that two songs for $15.
Listen, it's ridiculous. Let's just call it for
Okay.
what it is. It's a
Like,
complete.
because you make a good, yeah.
We should start a GoFundMe and pay somebody to take one of those things and disc toss it right through fucking Concord Records bay window. It's like the most
Right.
sellout thing to possibly do. It's so ridiculous. Like, I'm
And so, but
like
is
kind of
also
loose now that John's here. Like, you know, I don't know. I was kind of like, I'm like, I
well,
didn't want to be
so
like,
this,
it sucks.
John, let me ask you a question then. If they
Yeah.
sold that catalog to Concord Music, are we then also to understand that they basically are iced out of any profit from this two song, 4-inch debacle anyway?
The answer is we don't know, but the answer is most likely they get nothing from the
Yeah,
because I think
probably
you could,
nothing then. Yeah.
which makes this even more ridiculous because now this is just like, you know,
And they
not even
probably
about
picked the two songs, which we were talking about in the
that's what
beginning.
I'm saying. Right. Then
All
now
right,
it's almost not
I'll
even
give
about
you
music in any capacity.
$300 to disc toss it through Find Concord Records headquarters and throw it right through the bay window.
With
They're probably not heavy enough.
$15
You don't have
taped
to
to
tie it to a brick.
So, on a related question that is based off this thing, let's say you're selling Fleetwood Mac records, and it's a Fleetwood Mac record that doesn't have Stevie Nicks on it, and a 16-year-old young lady's picking it up. Do you say, you know, Stevie Nicks isn't on that record, or is that mansplaining? What do you do?
They should
Well,
know.
okay.
So then just pose the question to Sam. Does would you warn a young girl buying a Fleetwood Mac record if Stevie Nicks wasn't on it?
No.
There's your answer.
But then what do you do when she gets home and it's a terrible blues record and not Stevie Nicks who's the other Chrissy McVie? You know,
Okay,
it's a
yeah.
bunch of hippies with beards singing about, you know, I don't know, living in, you know, a barn or something.
An ignorant 15-year-old once that had nothing to do with punk mu music and vinyl and music in general, right? If I was to pick up a record and say, "Ooh, I'm gonna buy this for," and not know anything about it, then it is on me to figure out if I want to keep it or not.
But
I
maybe
think
they think
it's,
Stevie Nicks is on it, though, because Stevie Nicks is on all the good ones.
well, things change, and again, I was like, you learn, right? I was like,
Fair.
I literally did this with a Newfound Glory record. I picked up a Newfound Glory record and said, "This looks fun," and brought it home and apparently loved it.
You go. That's a good, yeah. So fair enough, right? Like, yeah, who
Yeah.
has anyone to get in the way of that? Fair enough.
Well said, Sam. Well said.
Yeah. Well,
Sam, what do you do if someone is buying a Steely Dan record? Do you take it and break it over their head right there? Or do you ridicule them for having such a terrible taste in music? Which of the two do you do?
okay. When I retire from this awful job that I have, okay, and I become one of those crazy ladies that sits at record stores and just like sits there and yells about stuff and talks to people, I'm just gonna yell about stuff and talk to people about how awful the Steely Dan record is. But as of right now, as Sam is busy human, I'm just not gonna say anything and I'm just gonna move on. Which I do all the time at record stores because people pick up stuff and I'm just like, why?
Anthony, why do all the young kids love Steely Dan and Pantera these days? Ages 16 to 20, they love Steely Dan and Pantera. What's up with that?
Man, I mean Pantera, I get it, I guess. You know, like I mean I remember when I was 16, I was all in on them. Steely Dan, what I, Steely Dan, what is Steely Dan? They sing like that song Peg, what do they sing?
Reeling in the years, or
Yeah, you've all,
you, their songs, you know
okay,
their songs. Maybe
yeah,
don't
that's one of
lose
those.
that number. It's the
Yep.
only
They
one you
do. They
got.
do sing Peg, though. You're right. They also sing Peg, yeah.
Okay, I know who they are. Yeah.
Would say
I
start
mean,
with Pantera first.
vulgar display of power, man. That's a
but I don't
that's
really understand how where you would even get Steely Dan, like as a 16-year-old, like where would they even see that? Was it in like a Trolls movie or something? Like how the fuck would you
like
even see
TikTok or something like that. Yeah.
that?
Although I'll tell you this, what's funny is I was watching the second Sonic movie with my son, and as like the villain is like getting all his stuff together, Pantera Walk comes on, and I'm like,
Really?
yeah, I
Yeah.
couldn't do it. I couldn't believe it. In the second Sonic, I'm sitting there with my 4.5-year-old, and he's like loving all that, and I'm like, rah, 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 and I was like,
Well,
whoa, okay,
that's
all right,
hilarious.
Pantera, crazy.
Well, there is a thing about like kids are getting exposure to like punk music through like the NFL and like sports
That's
because
true.
if you like watch enough,
Yeah.
well, I have it in the background of my house because my husband watches a lot of that. Sometimes you'll hear like the Bouncing Souls or
Yep.
Turnstile, like
Turnstile.
in
Sounds like a
like
Taco Bell
play.
commercial.
Yeah, the Taco Bell.
They were on at
Taco Bell
Starbucks the other day
loves
when I was
punk.
there. They were on at Starbucks the other day when I was there.
Combust is on like a Taco Bell playlist, which is like awesome for
Yeah.
Combust. Yeah, you're right, Sam, though. You are right. Like it's popping up in different ways. Like I remember years back, Fake Problems, they had like a song on a Taco Bell commercial. And then definitely Turnstile over the NBA playoffs. There was a couple
Yeah,
others
Can't
too.
Wait 1 Minute More was on. The Jets used to play that. Can't
There
wait
you go.
one minute
Oh,
more.
that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
It's an
I
interesting way
think
to get
there's
into
just
punk.
getting exposure in other places that's not TikTok.
For sure. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Although, is there an irony to getting into punk watching the NFL? I don't know. Maybe.
Well, like, I don't know if there's like an actual statistic out there that will actually like tell us how many people actually goes to punk shows because they saw it on like,
Right, fair enough.
from an
Fair enough.
NFL or any of that. I would
Right.
have to say going to Scowl shows, not that Scowl will play anytime soon, but like, in the past, I was like, I do see a lot of younger people that doesn't look like they're into punk, but then again, that's just probably me being like, you don't look like you're into punk. Like, at these shows. And I don't know if Scowl is their gateway punk, which we all have one or two of those people, right? Bands. Or if it's just like, oh yeah, I heard them once and they're around, so I'm just gonna go check them out. Also, I'm not even sure if that's just a New York City thing, because a lot of cool kids in New York City just shows up to shows without knowing what anything is anymore.
Well,
Hence
Brooklyn
why all
vibes.
these things sell out.
Brooklyn vibes.
I will say that Scowl is not gateway punk. I would say Scowl is the new punk, and that punk is always changing. I would say the main difference with kids that have never not known the internet is, when I was growing up in punk, everyone was like, "You mean you don't have the obscure Crass demo from 1981, where, between the third and fourth album? You're not punk." Now, those kids don't even necessarily care about the history, which isn't even necessarily, I mean, I wish they did, but it's not the worst thing in the world. Punk is changing, and punk needs to change or it will die. Look at big band music. It didn't change and it died, So I wouldn't say Scowl is the gateway to punk. I would say Scowl is the new punk. But the real question is, Mike, Scowl, is it over, yes or no?
I don't know, man. I hope it's not. I'd be lying if I said like I own any of their music, but what I do think matters is the vibe at the shows that they played that I was at. I loved the vibe because I think it this is delicate to say, but it's like I think, especially in the time I came up in hardcore and punk, it was very, as much of a subculture and counterculture it was also very male-centric. In like some ways that at the time seemed whatever, some ways at the time and in retrospect didn't seem so great. And I think bands like Scowl are, and the way they're getting big, the way they've gotten big, the bands they play with. And tour with on both like the hardcore end and the non-hardcore end. I think it's great. As you say, I think that's a great progression for punk music aside, because like their shows were a vibe, man. And I think if that's over, I think it's going to be, bands trying to recreate that rather than doing what Scowl did, which was not really recreate anything, but just push things farther. And I think that's what that band was about. I mean, even when like we were getting some of the taste of the new music, I mean, from their demo to what they were, workshopping when they went on this hiatus is so different. And I think if that band was always about progression, aesthetically, member-wise, musically, and it's over. I hope that the people that liked that band would understand that that's what that band was about. And so, like, don't try to recreate what Scowl did. Try to understand what Scowl did, and then and do it that way. But I hope it's not over for Scowl.
I sadly think it is over, but that's not the worst thing in the world. I think the individual members will do interesting things and perhaps something even better. But I feel the age of Scowl might be, and maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But if I'm not, if I am, if I'm correct, not the worst thing in the world because I think all the individual members will do something interesting and unique and push forward into something new.
Yeah, probably true.
Well, I think Scowl is very akin to Title Fight, the way that Title Fight was. Because Title Fight, they came around Long Island a couple times. I've
They
seen
did.
them in VFW halls there, and like they blew up, and then it blew up literally. So, but I think like, a lot, if you like listen to a lot of like the newer bands, in kind of like the outer punk and like the shoegaze, like, type of worlds, They all talk about Title Fight. They all love Title Fight, and they all take like influence from Title Fight, which I'm like, wow. I was like, they literally have like much more of a reach after their, I guess, end. Because Title Fight, I don't think is ever going to come back at this point,
I doubt it.
yeah. And it's
But
actually
I think
funny. Yeah.
it's interesting that you say that because it's like when you think about sort of title fights run, and you're right, it's like title fight went from like opening shows for Backtrack on Long Island to, but then it's like they sort of cleared the road for the fiddleheads and the military guns and the high viz of the that's like super popular now. And I mean those dudes are peers with the title fight guys, if not like bigger brothers to the title fight guys. So I don't mean it in that sense. But yeah, they made something more acceptable across the underground that perhaps wasn't there. And I think you're right, Sam. Like they're bigger now than they ever were active, which is saying something because they were, I mean, they were a force when at their height. But yeah, I think you're right. Like it opened something up in terms of like what music can we accept in this part of the underground, which is a good thing.
I think it's a very good thing that like these bands and I guess vinyl as well. I was like, does lead to, because the vinyl will outlive the bands a lot of the time, the music that's out there on the internet, if the internet exists in another 50 years, right? like that's all going to exist even when the band is done or gone or whatever.
All of this from Offspring. We
Yeah,
did it.
it's
We
Offspring's
really,
fault.
we came a long, well, I think we came a long way from Offspring, actually, Sam. I think we did a good job.
Well, we started with hardcore and ended up somewhere,
Fine.
and then now we're here.
The mark of a good combo.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for showing up and coming, and thank you for M and John for showing up.
Thanks.
yeah, I think we're gonna conclude this, and yeah, M, do you have any last words for today?
Go listen to some good music. Check out Benton or May if you haven't.
And eat a hot dog
I need a hot
With
dog.
pepperoni.
With pepperoni, yeah. Yes.
Or
Thank
not.
you guys for having us, man. We appreciate you guys.
Yeah, thank you so much. This was great. Thank you
Lot
so
of fun.
much.
Appreciate it.
Awesome.